I'm going to read. Let's read Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 as we continue in our study in Colossians. And you can follow along as I read God's Word. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. I have a question for you. Does what you believe make any difference in how you live your life? I hope so. But you know what? Having said that, I will say this. There are professing Christians who will defend the truth at the drop of a hat, but their very personal lives deny the very doctrines that they defend and profess to believe. In other words, as Paul put it in Titus 1:6, they claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny Him. Well, I hope you're not in that category. But there are people that I know, and I'm sure you may know some, who are in that category. You know, the pagan religions of Paul's day said very little or nothing about personal morality. What a person believed had little or no effect on one's behavior. But Christianity brought a whole new concept to society. You know what that was? Belief affects behavior. Go figure that. Paul lays down a lot of doctrine in chapters 1 and 2 in Colossians, and we've been moving through that and looking at it, and I hope you're learning from it as I'm learning from it. A lot of doctrine, a lot of teaching, biblical truths in chapters 1 and 2. And when you get to chapter 3, and a lot of this is in Ephesians as well, very similar, he starts out with a lot of doctrine. Now he turns to the practical implications of the doctrine or beliefs in our lives. In other words, you believe this, here's how it affects your life. He goes, in other words, from principle to practice. You know, a ball team preparing, or a army preparing for war, team preparing for game, they have principle or things and guidelines they're going to go by, but it's not much good if they don't implement it. So he goes from the principle to the practice. And back in Colossians 2:12, he talks about us being raised up with Christ. And now he gets to verse 1 of chapter 3, and he says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, and you could read it this way, since you have been. He's not saying if, meaning maybe you have. He's saying you have. If you're in Christ, you have been raised up with Christ. If you're a Christian, since you are a Christian, since you have been raised up with Christ to a new life, therefore, it's going to make a difference. In other words, you have been raised up with Christ, so what? And I love that. Anytime you're teaching or listening, I hope you can hear that. Here's what is going on. Here's the teaching. Here are the principles. So what? In other words, what difference does it make? And that's what Paul's getting to. This is the difference it makes. If you have been raised up with Christ, therefore, it should make a difference in your life. And I ask you, what difference has it made in your life since you have been raised up with Christ, since you put your trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and been raised up to a new life? What difference has it really made? I'd love for you to dwell on that some today. In light of that, we're going to look at Colossians 3, 1 through 4, and we're going to discover some practical results. Principle to practice or practicality. Some practical results of our being raised with Christ. The first of those practical results is in verses 1 and 2. We have a new perspective. Now that we've been raised up with Christ, we have a new perspective. In verse 1, since we have a new perspective, he's saying, keep seeking the things above. Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Therefore, he's saying, the Christian, having been raised with Christ, it should result in a radical change in our lives. It should result in a radical change in our conduct, in the way we live our lives. Back in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says that we are citizens of heaven now. Since we're Christians, we're no longer really, yeah, you say, I'm a citizen of the U.S., but he's saying, you're not a citizen of this earth anymore. You've been changed. You now have your citizenship in heaven. You're waiting till you get there. You're not there yet because you're here and you're breathing. And some of you are awake even. Oh, no, I think all of you are at this point. I haven't bored you to sleep yet. We're citizens of heaven. In other words, what is he saying? We live in a new sphere with a new aim and a new perspective. Our perspective and our sphere is heaven. And that's where we're to focus. We're to keep seeking things above. Heavenly things. Eternal things. Did you know life in this world? I'm going to throw one out at you and you're going to be real surprised. Life in this world is not very conducive to maintaining our heavenly tie. Therefore, if that's the case, and it is the case, some resolution is needed. And what is he saying? Therefore, since it's tough in this world, we're citizens of heaven. That's where our focus is to be. But it's real difficult because we're in a world that is certainly counter to it. You know, it's just not conducive to eternal things and focusing on heaven. Since that's the case, what is he saying? We must keep on seeking. Not just seek, but keep on seeking. Every moment of our lives, we're to keep on seeking. And that word in itself means intense effort. We have to give an intense effort at seeking the things above, not the things of this earth. What is he saying? Set your affections on heaven. You know what you set your affections on? And sometimes I'll just go ahead and tell you, it's not heaven. Okay? And I know that from my very own life. Way too often, my affections are not set on heaven. You say, well, I have to set my affections on my wife or my husband. I'm okay with that kind of stuff. But I'm talking about the things that we do and the mindset that we have. It's way too often not heavenly. We're going to get more to that in just a moment of our mind. Valuing the eternal instead of the worldly or the temporal. That's what he's saying. Keep seeking the eternal, not the temporal. Therefore, here's how it works out in practicality, I think. It means that we keep seeking and setting on, keep seeking by giving, seeking the eternal by putting giving ahead of getting. That's eternal. Serving above being served. That's eternal. That's setting our minds on the eternal. Forgiving instead of avenging. Conforming to his image over comfort and pleasure. He says, keep seeking that which is above where Christ is seated. Therefore, I'll say this, my perspective depends on where I'm seated. Am I seated with Christ? Is that where I'm looking? Is that where I'm focusing? Or am I focusing out here on all the muckety muck and the temporal things that just cry out and scream out at me daily? We are to view everything in our lives against the background of eternity. Therefore, we are no longer to live as if this world, this temporal world, is what really matters. That's the point. But we do oftentimes live like this world really matters. That's why we seek the things of the world. We want to have this. We want to have that. And folks, honestly, way too much of it are temporal things that are a distraction to seeking things above. Sometimes we just have to remove some of those things. I know that's difficult. Sell it if you want to. You don't have to smash it and get rid of it. You want to make a buck on it and invest it in the kingdom. That's a good thing. In Matthew 6:21, Jesus reminds us that where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. If we seek out Christ and allow Christ to be our ultimate treasure, then our hearts will follow along. If I'm seeking Him and desiring Him and the eternal things, my heart's going to kick in gear and follow along. And more, that's where my affections are going to be. On heaven, on eternal things, which is the only thing that can really make a lasting difference. Where are your affections? Are you continually, consistently seeking things above over things of the world? In order to keep seeking things above, folks, we must continually set our minds on things above. Keep seeking, and he goes on to say, keep set your minds on things above. In verse 2, look at what he says. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. He's getting real practical here. You got a choice. You're going to set your mind on things above, or you're going to set your mind on the things on this world. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, if you continually set your mind on the things of this world, you're going to be awfully frustrated. You're going to be empty. And you're going to get some point in your life where you're going to regret it big time. I know we have this strong pull toward those things, but folks, those things aren't lasting. And I'll just tell you, those things aren't satisfying. Oh, for temporal, yeah. Sin, yeah, satisfies for a moment. Earthly things satisfy for a temporal time, but they're not going to be any lasting satisfaction from it, only that which is eternal. Continually set our minds on things above. Someone has said we must not only seek heaven, but we must also think heaven. Are you thinking heaven? He said, I am right now because you're asking me to. I'm talking about in the middle of the work week or while you're out shopping. Woo! Or when you're watching the TV, are you thinking heaven? In face of the constant battle with temptation at the level of our thought life, we must not only resist evil thoughts, but positively set our thoughts on the things of God. In other words, not just get rid of the negative and say, I'm not going to do that, but we must counteract it by focusing on our mind on things above, the things of God, not on the things of the earth, which, by the way, I said, and I'll say it again, are fleeting. They're temporal. In other words, don't let your thoughts and your ambitions be earthbound, because this is not your home. How stupid of us. If we, our citizenship is in heaven, in other words, start acting like it. Set your mind on things above, things of heaven. In other words, what he's saying, once again, it's a continual thing. This is to be a matter of habit in our lives. It's not to say, okay, once a week, set your mind on things above. Keep seeking and then setting your mind on things above. Do it once a week and you're okay. No. You better do it all the time. Are you in big time trouble? T. Robertson says this, one must keep his feet upon earth, but his head in heaven. You're here. You're not, unless you die, you're going to be here for till Jesus comes or till you die. So keep your feet on earth, obviously, but your minds, your heads in heaven. You know, there goes a saying, where is your head? In other words, what were you thinking? And my appropriate response to that with my children over the years, praise God, empty nest, hallelujah. I love all three of them, and I think they're all matched up appropriately to their mates. And for that, we're grateful. But my response to them, I've learned this. It did take me a little while to learn. What were you thinking? And I turned back and said, wait a minute, I'm sorry. You weren't thinking. That was the problem. But in this case, are you thinking heaven or are you thinking earth? Are you thinking earth or are you thinking heaven? That's appropriate to dwell on for a while. What am I thinking? Habitually, what am I thinking? Heaven or earth? To set means to seek something with a desire to possess it. When he uses that word, set your mind on, seek it with a desire to possess it. So you really want it. I'm going to think heaven because that's what I want. I want my life to be heaven. Heavenly. Eternal, not temporal. In other words, I would say this, may we desire heaven as much as those Olympian hopefuls are training for to win a medal. Folks, it's beyond me what those gymnasts go through, what those swimmers and all the others go through. Whatever, you name it. I just know more about gymnastics because I worked with a lot of gymnasts in college in a ministry that I was involved in. Those guys were nutso. I mean, they were at college to be gymnasts. And they're not even in the Olympic level. No, none of them got there. Can you imagine? I mean, all the rigorous training and discipline. And that's because they were desiring to perform with excellence. Those Olympians spend their lives. That's all they do. You know, most of them don't have a life except what they're training for. And all of a sudden one day that's over and now they got to learn life all over again. Their life has been one thing. Our life should be one thing. Focused on heaven. Setting our minds there. If I set my mind there, guess what? The body's going to follow. The habits are going to be eternal, not temporal. Usually we get it backwards though. Instead of desiring heaven so much, we spend time fretting the things of earth, like the next appointment we've got. I'm okay with work. You work, and if you don't, God has some very strong things to say about you if you don't work and provide for your family when you're able to. We set our mind on the next appointment. We fret what's going to happen. We set our mind on our possessions and how much we have and whether we have enough. Our pleasure, we think about what we're going to do next to enjoy life. I'm okay with recreation and pleasure. God was okay with it. He rested, by the way. He set a precedent there, and I think Scripture's clear that we're to follow. And we're to have a Sabbath rest. Whenever that is with you, you figure that out. But God says recreate, renew. Don't drive yourself in the ground working all the time. Take a break. Before you burn out and you're no use to the kingdom. Or our physical bodies. We focus way too much sometimes on that. Okay, it's a temple of God. Take care of it. I'm okay with that. But we go overboard sometimes and because we forget that it's a temporal body. For some reason, we think it's going to be eternal. No, there is one that's going to be eternal, but it's not this one. Scripture, my understanding, it's a new body because it's a heavenly body. This is an earthly body. That's a heavenly body. There's a difference. Thinking earthly is different than thinking heavenly. You see the difference? There's a huge contrast between the two. Okay. What is he saying? He's saying what we need to do is think about Philippians 4:8, which we will for a second. Set your mind on things above. What does he tell us? We're to focus on things above. Dwell on that which is pure, good, praiseworthy. You get the point? Our mind is to be focused on heaven and that which is heavenly. It's to be a continual thing, not a one-time thing. Romans 12:2 says that we are to allow our minds to be renewed by His transforming power. Wow. We have our minds renewed when? When it needs to be renewed. You know how often that is? Very often. Maybe you're just so heavenly that I need to learn something from you. But I have difficulty with that. My mind will go to earthly things just in an instant. And I can be in the midst of the most wonderful spiritual thing, and all of a sudden the enemy bombards me with something out there because the world is worldly. The world is temporal, and my mind shifts to that. And then I need to dwell on things above to get back on focus where I'm supposed to be. Why? Because I've been raised up with Christ. I have a new perspective. And how is my mind renewed, by the way? By the Word of God, okay? There is nothing else. You can focus on anything you want to, but this is what is praiseworthy. This is what's true. We dwell on it, then we live it. We set our minds on things above and allow our minds to be renewed so we continue to set our mind on things above. Though it is very difficult, we should learn to turn our hearts and our minds to heaven first. Is that what you do? Uh-huh. Yeah. No, maybe not. We focus, return to earth usually. We turn to the temporal when we're in the midst of something. I don't know about you, but I start thinking temporally how I can work it out. And God's going to work it out. Not me. It's beyond me. But we need to turn to heaven first. Not second, but first. Do you know that we can shift our sights, physical sight, from near to far at will? I think we can shift our spiritual sight from near to far at will. It's up to you and me. It's a conscious decision that I am going to set my mind on things above. This is not the power of positive thinking, folks. This is heavenly thinking. Makes a whole lot of difference. Then I live eternally because I have a new perspective and I'm setting my mind on things above. The only people who are truly happy on earth, are those whose hearts and minds are in heaven. Why? Because they find that which truly satisfies. The earth doesn't truly satisfy, it's temporal. Here's the way John MacArthur sums this point up, and I love what he says here. The Christian's whole disposition should orient itself toward heaven just as a compass needle orients itself toward the north. To be preoccupied with heaven is to be preoccupied with the one who reigns there, Christ, seated at the Father's hand. His purpose and His plans are what we are to be preoccupied with. Then he goes on to say, it is also to view the things, the people, and the events of this world in our daily lives through His eyes with an eternal perspective. Do you do that? It is to allow our preoccupation with heaven to govern our earthly response. I hope that's the case with you. The second and final practical result is that we have a new life. Not only do we have a new perspective, we have a new life. We don't respond to earthly values because we have a new life and we have died. You say, wait a minute, you told me a while ago I'm living. You've died. But you now are alive, obviously. We have died. We have a new life in Christ. We have died to sin and the world, and therefore its bondage over us. Romans 6:6 tells us that. You say, we've died to the bondage of sin in this world and its values. We don't have to live in bondage to it. That's the point. Why? Because we died with Christ and we've been raised up to a new life. If you're a Christian, that's what's happened. All things have become new. The old has passed away, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? We are secure, but it also means we are satisfied in Him. That's why we don't need to run after the world. That's why we have a new perspective, because we have a new life now, and we can live out that new life because we're no longer in bondage to sin. In this world, we no longer have to seek the world to be satisfied, because it doesn't satisfy. Only He satisfies. If we're hidden with Christ in God, we can live a life full of satisfaction. Fully satisfied, fully content. As Paul talked about. No matter what the circumstances. A little or a lot. Nothing or everything. That's what he said. He had gone through it all. And in every phase he was in life, he was content because he was hidden with Christ in God. Wow. The sphere of our life is not this earth, but it's heaven. And it's the things that attract and excite us should be the things that belong to heaven. What attracts you? What excites you? What gets your juices flowing? The latest fad? I mean, some of us just can't wait. I'm sorry, and I'm way behind the time, so forgive me for going on a little bit about this. But it's the latest little device, whether it be an iPad, whether it be a phone that can do everything, cook your dinner, whatever it is, I'm sure that's coming. I mean, there are people who can take a phone and not do another thing and live their entire life with it. And I see some who are way too occupied. Preoccupied, or whatever the word is, to a point that I want to take it and throw it away. I'm not that rude yet, nor that brave, nor that stupid. But I'm sorry, but we desire the latest thing. And I'm sorry, I also know people that'll have one, and a few months later, the newest comes out, so they got to get rid of that because they have to have the newest thing. What? They're looking for something else to satisfy them. And you know what? That's the point. It satisfied them for about 3 or 4 months, a year, till something new comes out, and then they're not satisfied with that. Why? Because they're attached to earth, not heaven. Does the shoe fit? I know way too many people that are in that. It's easy for me to say, obviously, because I'm not up on the latest. Not here, it's back in the Elva. I got the flip phone, that's about 5 years old. It works. It does what I want to do. I don't text because I'd rather talk to you than text. I'm sorry, but I'm pretty much a personal people person. Yes, I like to talk. Okay, God, He didn't equip me to text. He equipped me to talk. And I don't mind you texting me, by the way, but you know that I won't respond because I've never sent a text in my life. The point is, we're new creatures. We have died to that stuff. The things that should attract us are the things that belong to heaven. There were two sisters who had lived wild partying lives, and they came to faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and they became new creatures in Christ. Imagine that. The old things had passed away. New things had come. And they were invited to go to a wild party. And so what they did is they responded to the party invitation by saying, "We regret that we cannot attend the party because we recently died." And, somebody could say, well, they could have gone and be a witness. But at that point, they weren't ready to go to that party. You got to make a decision according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit in your life. Yeah, I'm okay going to a wild party if I'm there to witness to the people. But typically, that's not the best place to go when people are drunk out of their mind or stoned on drugs or whatever else. That's not the most conducive place for witnessing. But my whole point is, yeah, we need to be a witness. But in their case, they didn't need that because they had died. They had become new creatures. Can you imagine someone receiving that invitation or that reply back? Point is, we should have as little desire for the improper worldly pleasures as a dead person. Last time I checked, a dead person doesn't have any desire, okay? That's the point. We should have no desire for these things because we have died. And we have died, not only died, but he goes on to say in verse 4, Christ now is our life. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. I am the life. Paul says in Galatians 2, 20, it is no longer I who live, but now Christ lives in me. Philippians 1, 21, he puts it this way, and this is very clear. For me to live is Christ. What is he saying? Christ is not to be just the most important thing in my life. He is to be my very life. That's difficult to get to that point, but that's where we're supposed to be. The earthly things aren't my life. The people aren't my life. I love my wife. But if I was to say my life is my wife, I'd be on the wrong track. My job is my life. You've heard it said of people, this is his life, okay? They'll say, music is his life. Roy's a good musician, I think. I think he's a great musician. I think he's a great worship leader. I think he's a wonderful person. But music is not his life. Christ is his life. I work with him all the time. I know Christ is his life. But I know people that music is their life. Not Christ, but music. Oh, Christ is in there somewhere, but he's secondary to the other thing. Sports is his life. As much as I like sports, folks, I'm going to tell you, sports is not my life. There are times I could say it was. But I've been disappointed so many times by the teams I followed that I learned a long time ago, there's not a great deal of satisfaction there. It's temporal. I loved it last year when my Rays game 162. Came from behind to beat the Yankees to get the wild card berth. I was thrilled. My wife was. We were jumping up and down when we saw that on TV. But I can tell you, that has faded. I remember it. You see it on TV all the time. Sports should not be our life. His children are his life. His work is his life, etc. What is your life? Is it Christ? Could it be said of you, Christ is my life? Have you been raised up to a new life in Christ? Think for a second. Have you truly been born again by the Spirit of God because you trusted in the fact that Jesus died for your sin? And only through trusting in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ could you be saved from your sin and become a new creature in Christ, be raised up to a new life, die to sin in the world and be raised up to a new life in Christ. Have you been raised to a new life? Therefore, if you've been raised to a new life, I have to ask you this question. Is your whole life oriented toward heaven or is it oriented mostly toward earth? You know, the magnetic compass, I had to look this up. I learned some things a long time ago in school, but I forgot a lot of what I've learned. A whole lot more than I've remembered. But the magnetic compass aligns itself up with the magnetic poles in the north and the south. But you know, in the compass, if you don't know this, I think you know this, the arrow points to north. We always say the magnetic, it goes to the north. It goes to the south too. But it always points to the north on the compasses that I've ever seen, which has been a long time since I've used one. This, by the way, is a pretty reliable instrument. The magnetic compass. People use it all the time. I know people who've been lost in the wilderness and their life was rescued because they used a compass to get their way out of the swamp. It's reliable except in the regions that are closest to the Earth's magnetic poles. In these areas, it just goes bonkers. And it's not reliable. And I found that to be very interesting. The closer it gets to its magnetic poles, the worse it does. The closer I get to focusing on heaven. Do you realize the more oriented my life will be toward heaven? How does that come about? By seeking things above and the one who is seated above. By setting my mind continually on things above. Let me ask you this. Is your spiritual compass consistently oriented toward heaven? Or is it way too often oriented toward earth? My desire is for you to focus on heaven and things above. And to join me as we sing this song, which is how we get focused. Make it our prayer, make it our commitment to seek things above. Let's stand and worship.